Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the victories. I thank you that you continue to give us victories when we seek your face. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in each of our lives during this season. What a tough season we've been in, but what a time of celebration we have when we see victories coming forth. I thank you, Father God, that we have the opportunity to come together every single week to stand in the gap, to stand in the gap for our president, for our nation, and for victims across the board. I thank you, Lord God, and what an encouragement it was, Lord, to hear those praise reports today. Father God, as we prepare to study your word, I just ask that you would come into our midst, right where we're at, whether we're in the car, whether we're in our homes, whether we're, you know, needing to prepare dinner. Father God, wherever we are right now, I ask that you would just quiet our spirit, and that we would be able to receive of you today. As I pored over the scripture you gave me, Lord, I was so deeply touched, and I asked, Lord God, that you would give me the words, Lord God, and that your spirit would come and flow and minister to each of us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we have this opportunity. What a privilege to go deeper in God together. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Turn with me, please, to John 13. John 13, and tonight I'm going to read from the Amplified. I like to read from the Amplified and from the King James, and there's just something about the King James version. You know, my kids tell me I'm like this little old lady in a young person's body because I just love the poetic nature of the King James version. I could have been born in the time in 1600s when King James version was written, and I would have been a very happy camper. But tonight, as I read through this passage in the Amplified, it really spoke to me. And so that's what I'd like to read through with you tonight. Now, to set the stage, this is the Passover feast. This is right before the Passover feast. This is the Last Supper between Jesus and his disciples. We all know the story. We've seen it in movies. We have read it. We've seen paintings of it. And we have witnessed time and time again, as they have portrayed this scene between Jesus and his disciples. And I have to say that this is one of the most intimate scenes that we have the opportunity to be a part of between Jesus and the disciples. A very intimate scene. And so as Jesus comes together. Now, in John, this is the only one that depicts Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. And so let's read together. Let's start at verse 3. That Jesus, knowing fully aware that the Father had put everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was now returning to God, got up from supper, took off his garments, and taking a servant's towel, he fastened it around his waist. Then he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the servant's towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are my feet to be washed by you? Is it for you to wash my feet? Jesus said to him, you do not understand now what I'm doing, but you will understand later on. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, unless I wash you, you have no part with me, no part in me. You have no share in companionship with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head too. Jesus said to him, anyone who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is clean all over, and you, my disciples, are clean, but not all of you. Because he knew that Judas was about to betray him. So I'm going to stop there. And as I read this scripture, I saw something in this interaction that took place with Jesus and Peter. And I saw what was taking place in the washing of the feet. And there was a level of intimacy, a window into that evening that I had the opportunity to experience. And the Lord, it's like he imprinted on my heart. And the Lord, when he wants to stick something to me, he imprints on my heart, and I feel it. I feel the imprint of the Lord, and it begins to work its way around inside of me, and I feel myself being transformed by his word. As revelation comes, as deeper understanding comes, I feel the difference as he works his way in me. And so when I saw that, and I actually watched, there's a little video, it's about a 30-minute video, and it's, I think it's called Come Follow Me, and it's the interaction between Jesus and Peter. And when Jesus first calls Peter, and in all of the major events that we see with Peter, Peter was a very passionate man, very, very passionate. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. He was always stumbling about, but he was a man that was passionate for Christ. And even to the point of when he denied Christ, when he came back, the grief that he experienced, Jesus had to work him through that and bring forth healing to him so that Peter could rise up and become the head of the church in the last days, or the beginning church, rather. And so, as I watched this interaction between Jesus and Peter, I thought about Peter, the fisherman. I thought about the man who did not know Jesus. And one can imagine what he must have been like, a very passionate man. Jesus spent 3 years tempering Peter, and yet he still was full of passion. You know, he draws his sword when the guards come, and he cuts off the man's ear because he's passionate. Imagine, he spent 3 years, day in and day out, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's still ready to draw the sword. And so I picture what Peter must have been like before Jesus really got a hold of him in those times with him, day in and day out. But when Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me, no part in me, no part with me." And if we look historically, back then, you know, most people walked everywhere. And so when they would travel from point A to point B, they traveled on the same roads that the animals did, the carts did, you know, the camels did. There was a lot of stuff on the road. And so when you went to a house, usually the owner of the home would provide a basin for you to wash your feet. And if you went to a wealthy house, usually a servant would wash your feet for you. And that's just what was done, because usually, even though they had sandals, most of them, they still picked up what the animals were dropping on the road. And you wouldn't want that coming into your home. So that's kind of the process of what took place back then. So when he said, "You have no part with me," the Lord spoke to me, and this scene right here, the Last Supper, before they even broke the bread and shared the cup of wine, I saw something I've never seen before. And in this moment, he was walking us through the process of salvation. Through this scripture, it was the process of salvation. When we come to him and we accept him, he has to wash us. What is he washing? He's washing away the road that we've traveled on. Everything we've done in our life He is washing away from us as he washes our feet, every place our foot has stepped, whether it's been good or bad, it's been done without him. And now we've come to meet him. In his first act, and he says he came from the Father, and he knows he's about to go back up to the Father. This is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Son of the living God, who has taken off his garments, and he has put on a servant's garb, and he is on his knees washing the filth of the road off the disciples' feet. The symbolism that was there, what he was speaking in that moment, pierced my heart. It pierced my heart. Because if we don't come to him, you see, when someone is washing your feet, and I don't know if you've ever been part of a foot washing, but something takes place in your heart when someone washes your feet. You think, well, doesn't it cause you to kind of rise up in pride? No, it doesn't. In fact, just the opposite takes place in your heart. As you sit there and someone picks up your feet and puts them in the water and they clean your feet, these emotions rise up in you. It can be, this shouldn't be happening. I don't deserve it. It can be, well, this is just plain awkward. You can feel humbled. You can begin to feel embarrassed. Because it's like where your feet have gone all of those years, you don't realize it, but the truth is, everywhere you've walked, it's in your feet. It's in your feet. Every step you've taken from the moment you first began walking, it's revealed in your feet. If you're sickly, you can see it in your feet. If you've lived a hard life, spend a lot of time outdoors, you can see it in your feet. Everything you've done, there's something there. The road you've traveled can be seen in your feet. And as someone picks up your feet and washes them, for the first time, and I want to be careful with this because I don't want to take this lightly. I want you to really hear what I'm saying because the Lord is wanting us to grasp something tonight. Really grasp something. Because I know people go and get pedicures and their feet go in the basin and all of that's happened. I know that. And you almost become desensitized to it. You know, sometimes kids just grow up and they go with their parents and it's just a fun little day at the spa. This is apart from that. This is in a moment where the presence of God has entered the room. And everywhere you've traveled is exposed in that moment. And as the Son of the living God picks up your feet. Now, he knows where they walked the last 3 years. But because he's the Son of God, he knows where they walked before he met them. And in this moment, something breaks where the awkwardness, the feeling of embarrassment or discomfort, it starts to melt away. And the one whose feet are being washed, as they sit there, they're humbled. Because the truth is, when we're done, we're fully exposed. All the good, all the bad. You feel fully exposed. And in that moment, when the person has finished washing your feet, you realize they still love you. They still accept you. Even though they may not know the path you've taken before you sat in front of them, by the time they're done, there's a sense by the Spirit of the Lord what has taken place in your life. And He begins to wash away the road you've traveled on to get to Him. When Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you will have no part of me," He is saying, "I need to purify you. I need to cleanse you. I need to wash away the pain, the sorrow, the anger, the bitterness, the filth of the path you walked on before you came to me. And as hard as it's going to be, I need you to let me finish this process. Because if you don't let me finish this process in your life, you cannot break bread with me. You cannot drink of my blood. You can't partake of the work I'm about to do on the cross. If you don't let me first purify you." There is an important cleansing that takes place when we come to Jesus. A very important cleansing that takes place. I grew up in the church, so I've known the Lord. I've known the secrets of the Lord. I've known how He works. My whole life, and even though I backslid for many years, when I came back to Him, I still had this idea that He wouldn't know where I'd been. How silly. Because He knows it all, doesn't He? And we can either come to Him and let Him wash our feet, washing away the dirt and the grime, washing away the sickness, washing away the sorrow, washing away the darkness that we walked in when we were not with Him. Or we can enter in and go through the process of being purified. Thinking we're hiding it from Him makes the purification work so much more difficult. Because what we do is we've got this little box inside of our hearts. We've got this little box, and we've got all of our darkest secrets inside this box. And I talked last week or the week before, I talked about grace. I talked about His grace and how He showed me that vision of Him extending His grace over me. Every sin, He extended His grace. He extended His grace. And I felt the power of His grace being extended over me so that I didn't have to live under the sin and the shame of my sin. The shame of my sin. Because if you live under the shame of your sin, if you live under the guilt of your sin, you will not move forward in God. Because the enemy will rule you with that darkness. He'll rule you with your guilt. He'll rule you with your shame. Because that's what he does, and he's very good at it. I've talked to you about the light. In the beginning was the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is light. 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 What does light do? It exposes darkness. And if we think we have a box inside of our hearts that He doesn't have access to, there is going to be a part of our lives that He will not take. There's a part of us He won't take because He will not violate our will. He already knows it, but He won't step foot in it. He won't do that to us because what He wants is for us to sit in the chair and expose our path to Him, expose the roads we walked to Him, for us to bring those to Him and allow Him to cleanse away the shame, the sin, the darkness. The Bible depicts many people that were saved by Jesus, many people He interacted with. The Samaritans, He interacted with tax collectors, with the prostitutes. I mean, these are kind of our, you know, the people that we see downtown. I mean, if you're, you know, if you work for the IRS and you're on this line, really there's nothing personal here. But the tax collector in the day, they tended to cheat and to steal and to demand more money. And so they just really had a bad image. And I know you guys probably feel like you got a bad image today, and we're sorry about that. But we're just going to move past that right now. Jesus went into the darkest, darkest, darkest places. And He exposed the heart. And what happened? They bowed the knee. They sat and they let Him wash their feet. And when He did that, they had the freedom to follow Him. Can you imagine walking with Jesus? I mean, really imagine walking in the flesh with Jesus. He was God. He was God walking on this earth. He was so holy. He was without sin. He likely had to put a shield around them to protect them from the holiness that must have emanated from Him. They knew He knew their hearts. They knew He knew because they watched Him minister to people. He watched every single one of those disciples, watched Jesus as He ministered the secret thoughts to the secret thoughts of the people He healed, that He freed from their sin. Time and time again, in all different walks of life, different levels of sin, Jesus reached into their lives and brought forth healing and restoration. Because that is what He came to do. But see, He came to do so much more in our lives if we will give Him license to do it. We walk around with our little box in our heart, and we've got our deepest, darkest secrets hidden in there. We've got those that are lined up with the seven deadly sins or the things that God despises: lust, greed, fornication, gluttony, laziness, wrath, envy, pride, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies. Proverbs 6. Those are the kind of things we keep tucked away in that box. But He already knows what they are. And this year is a year of refining. And if we want him to finish the work and we want him to move in and through our lives, we need to open up that box and say, come in and cleanse me, Lord. Purify me. Wash me with your word. Every nook and cranny, I give you access to it. And I'm going to tell you, when you're willing to do that, really willing to lay it down, you are going to be freed faster than you can believe. You are going to be healed faster than you can believe. People say, I've been pressing for inner healing my whole life. For 20 years I've been seeking God for inner healing. 20 years I've sought him to heal my broken heart. Open the box and let him inside. He can't heal what we don't give him access to. Now, does that mean he's not going to put on the pressure because he loves us? Because he's trying to bring that stuff to the surface? Absolutely not. Why? Because he knows the danger of keeping things in darkness. The minute we expose it to his light, do you know that the enemy has no more authority? The minute you have exposed your sin, the minute you have exposed your quote-unquote darkest places to the light, the enemy loses the power in that sin. As long as that sin lives in darkness, he's got power over you. He'll say, come on over, come on. Jesus is getting close. Come on over here. He's getting close. We need to get into the shadows. Because that's where the enemy lurks. That is where the enemy of your soul lurks, waiting to draw you in. His one and only job is to make sure you get into hell. Do you know that? He's got one job, get you to hell. Now, in his head, his job is to keep you from Jesus. So whatever darkness he needs to present to you, whatever lustful things, whatever things he needs to poke in order to activate the sin in that box, he will do it. Because his goal is to get you to hide from God, which is just hilarious to me. And I can say that because I remember trying to hide from God. And I thought, I know better. It's one thing if you come to God later in life and you didn't know better. It's ridiculous when we come to God and we knew better, or we're returning to God and we knew better and we're trying to hide our darkness. A washing, a cleansing, a purification, washing away the journey before you came to Jesus. You know, Paul talks to the Corinthians and he says, you know, people are coming in and they're talking about taking communion. He talks about gluttony there too, but right now for the purpose of this discussion, Paul is talking about them taking communion without purifying their hearts, purifying their walk. Some are even falling into death because they're taking communion, breaking bread, his body that was broken for them. They are actually taking communion, drinking the wine representative of his blood that was shed for them, without purifying their heart before God. He doesn't even want us to give an offering if we have got angst in our heart toward our brother. He's serious about what we do in his house. He's serious about what we do before him. He says, if you've got a beef against your brother in your heart, before you put your offering in the till, you need to set it down and you go make it right with your brother, and then you come back and you give your gift to me. I don't want tainted gifts in my house. We've got to give God our best. If we're going to consume of his flesh and his blood, we've got to make sure we've let him purify us first. People say, I am just sick all the time. You know, that might be one area you can look at. Are you taking communion without going through the sanctification process? Are you letting the Lord Jesus Christ wash your feet before you break bread with him? Taking communion is, it's not a light thing. Why? Because it is his body broken for us. And when we have allowed him to wash our feet, sanctify us, and then we take of the elements of communion, his healing can come to our bodies. His healing can come to our bodies. I know a pastor who would, in fact, he was my pastor. He passed away a few years ago, but here in Fresno. And when we would take communion, he would tell people, if you do not know Jesus, do not take communion. Parents, don't let your children take communion. This was not a small church. This is the biggest church in Fresno. He was just a godly man. He would say, don't let your children take communion if they don't know Jesus yet. And he always gave an altar call before they did communion. Always. And he would say, and he would lead a prayer for us to lay our sins at the feet of Jesus. And now I look back at that and I think, Jesus, he was giving us opportunity to let Jesus wash our feet, sanctify us, purify us. But we would sit there and it would be quiet. And he would allow that time, 3, 5, 7 minutes. And that seems like a long time when you're looking at a church who sticks to a schedule. We had 3 services on Sunday morning. That's a busy schedule. But when it was Communion Sunday, which was once a month, you knew service was going to be long. Because Pastor Johnson was going to make sure he gave every one of us opportunity to lay our sin at Jesus' feet. If we had unforgiveness in our hearts toward our brother that we'd picked up over that period of time, he would encourage us to forgive. If we had lusted, he would encourage us to repent. If we had walked in pride or haughtiness, he would pray and lead us to pray that God would bring humility to our hearts. He went through it all because he cared about his flock enough to risk those who would be offended by the awkwardness of the quiet time to press in His desire was to see us grow and mature in God. It was a serious time before we took communion. I always felt it as a serious time. I didn't understand it all back then because this was a long time ago. I didn't understand it all back then. I'm just being honest with you. But I felt the soberness of the room, the whole sanctuary. There was a soberness in the room. And I'd actually forgotten that until I started sharing the importance of sanctification before communion. Why am I telling you this? Why am I sharing this with you? Because we need to lay it all down. We want to be used by God. We're excited about what He's going to do in the days ahead. We are excited about what He's going to release in the body of Christ in the days ahead. And we want to be on the front lines. And He's calling us to open up our little box of darkness so He can get inside there and He can free us from the bondage that darkness keeps us in, so that He can wash us, cleanse us, purify us, sanctify us, whatever you want to call it. It is a deep and powerful word that means getting the sin out of your life. And He longs to do that. That's why He died. And it's not so He can expose you. It's so He can free you. That's His heart. That's His passion, to free us so that we can be used in the fullness of what we've been created to be used in. We are not hiding from God. We're letting the enemy keep us in bondage. I'm going to say that again. We are not hiding from God. We are letting the enemy keep us in bondage. So let's sit. Let's quit running. Let's sit. Sit in our chair. Sit on the edge of our bed, and let's let Jesus cleanse us. Give Him access to the roads you've traveled. He longs to free you from the bondage of that path you've been on. He longs to free you from the bondage. Even if you've walked with Him for 10 or 20 years, those secrets are keeping you in bondage. Let Him free you tonight. Let Him free you from it. I feel the ache in my heart. I know that's the ache He feels for us. I know it is. Because that's what He does to me when He's pressing an issue. Let Him free you. Spend a few minutes and let Him free you so that you can get up and walk. He can finish the work in you. And you can walk in the fullness He's created you to walk in. We've got powerhouses on this line, I'm telling you. Powerhouses. And you've been waiting for God to use you. We forget the importance of sanctification, especially when we're in ministry. I know it's sad, it shouldn't be that way. We just get busy about the busy work of ministry, hoping no one will know our darkest secret. But the freedom that comes from laying it at His feet and letting Him wash your feet. It's beyond comparison. It really is. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for every person who's on this line. I want to thank You for Your desire to bring forth true healing in our lives. You want every part of us, every part of our minds, every part of our hearts, every part of our souls, every part of our bodies, Lord God. You want us all. And we think we've got things so hidden in the layers of our soul, no one's going to get to it. And You're so patient and so loving, waiting for us to give You access. Jesus, we give You access tonight. Access to every layer. We ask that You send in the Comforter to bring forth healing in those layers. Healing, Lord God, healing. Healing as we give You access to the things we've kept hidden. We want so badly all that You have for us in the days ahead. We want so badly to be used by You. We want so badly to see Your glory come forth in this nation. We want so badly to be a part of it. Give us the grace even now to step into this and allow You to do Your work in us. I thank You, Lord. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for the intimacy that You long for with us. In Your precious and holy name, amen. Thank You, John. Thank You. I love you all. I love you guys.